Alex De Minaur through to the second round at the French Open this morning in four sets. And Sheffield Wednesday won the League One playoff final against Barnsley 1-0, courtesy of a goal in extra time, deep into extra time, the 123rd minute there this morning. Now, we're going to talk some harness racing. The first Tab Eureka set to be run Saturday, September 2. They're at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. And there is a major announcement today about the Tab Eureka. Joining us now is our harness racing expert and presenter at Sky Racing, Brittany Graham. Brittany, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Jerry. Morning, guys. Great to be on.
Oh, great to have you on. And tell us a bit about this announcement you're involved in later this morning surrounding the Tab Eureka.
Yeah, we're really excited in the world of harness racing for this inaugural running of the world's richest harness race, which has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? It's great to have such an event happening here in Australia and here in New South Wales at Tabcorp Park Menangle, which really is the home of harness racing. So that's September 2nd, the first ever running of the Tab Eureka, just over $2.1 million on offer. And a little later this morning, in fact, it's just after 9:15 on Sky Racing 1 this morning during the morning line, we're going to be announcing one of the biggest names in the sporting world signing on to be the Tab Eureka ambassador. And I think it's fair to say that this could be one of the biggest announcements happened in harness racing in a very, very long time. So you're going to have to tune in just after 9 o'clock this morning to Sky Racing 1 when we announce it all. But it's incredibly exciting, and I'm sure that it's really going to set not only the harness racing world alight, but the sporting world in general. It's really going to set it abuzz.
Looking forward to seeing who that is. Ooh. How significant is the Tab Eureka for the sport, Brittany, for racing generally? And I guess, how's it been received?
Yeah, it's incredible for our game, not only to have such great prize money on offer, but also to have that tag of the world's richest harness race, because it has the harness racing world talking. In fact, one of the biggest, most prestigious races on the harness racing calendar was staged this weekend, this weekend just gone, the Elite Lop in Sweden, where we had an Australian representative, where Just Believe went up. And I'm hearing that everybody was talking about the Tab Eureka in North America, much the same, because we know we've got the likes of Toddy and Andy McCarthy up there, who are Aussies, and Dexter Dunn, a Kiwi, who are really making waves on that scene. So everybody's talking about it, and it's coming together really nicely. We've already had four official runners confirmed. It's a slot race, much like the Everest. And the four initial runners to be locked in are Leap to Fame, who is the Triple Derby champion from last year. Also, Catch a Wave, this year's Chariot Sophia and Miracle Mile winner. Captain Ravishing, who's just an excitement machine. And My Ultimate Ronnie was announced last week as well. So four of the biggest names in harness racing, four great four-year-olds. It's the 3- and 4-year-old event to be staged, as I mentioned, on September 2nd at Tabcorp Park Menangle. So the build-up is continuing, and there's still those six positions left to be taken up. And I think after this announcement this morning, not only will excitement build, but people will be very, very keen to get themselves involved.
Yeah, it's a terrific concept. And just for those of us not completely across it, so obviously a slot race, as you've mentioned, but what about the conditions of the race, Brittany?
Yeah, as mentioned, for 3- and 4-year-olds,
three
so
and four
it's
year
a
olds,
restricted yeah. age race, and it is for Australian bred paces only. So has to be true blue Aussies to be involved in this world's richest harness race. And we're hoping, obviously, going forward, that'll really assist with the breeding industry. People will want to be picking out Australian breds at the yearling sales, because why wouldn't you when there's such a big prize pool on offer? So I think the flow-on effects will be significant, but in this first year, we couldn't have asked for a better crop of horses to choose from.
Okay, great stuff. So just a reminder of that announcement this morning, and keep your eyes peeled on Sky Racing 1. So 9:15 for the ambassador, wasn't it, Brittany?
Absolutely, 9:15, just after 9:15 on Sky Racing 1, so can't wait.
Okay, great stuff. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Go the Maroons.
Brittany, oh, I don't know about that.
What about that? Right at the end, just a little kidney punch as she went off air.
Not even a chance.
That's
to
something
reply.
You do. That's something you would
I would,
do, Bulldog.
Yeah, just hit the button. See you later.
Oh, you know what? That's what we love about State of Origin. Everyone has a position. You either like Queensland or you like New South Wales.
Why is
and
it?
The proof will be in the pudding on Wednesday night.
Why do you think the rest of Australia go for Queensland? That was the general consensus, isn't it? They don't cheer for the Blues. Is it an anti-Sydney feeling?
Yeah, of course, for sure.
But Why?
Oh, because, well, I don't know, the biggest city, the
We've got everything in New South Wales.
I don't know. Biggest population.
Yeah. But it is New South Wales against the rest, isn't it?
Because we don't care.
Yeah.
We've never really even thought about it. But, yeah, we are
disliked.
Well,
they locked us out during COVID. Let's bring that up.
Exactly.
Busy yesterday breaking Latrell Mitchell and Nathan Cleary stories. Denny, very good morning to you.
Yeah, not a great day for the Blues, guys. I guess if they're looking at probably one of the three players they'd hate to lose, it would be Latrell. And then to have a concern about another one, it'd be Nathan. So they're two of the big guns in the side, obviously. And look, go back to the Latrell situation. He injured that calf in the very last run of their last big session. So it was a really unfortunate thing for him. And obviously we know all about the emotional response he had and the scramble yesterday to get the critter in the side, Stephen Crichton. And, you know, the Blues are putting on a pretty brave face. I saw them all day yesterday and this morning as well. And they're putting on a brave face, but let's be honest, that'd rattle the team, wouldn't it? I mean, like, Laurie, you've been in situations where you've lost players late, and to lose such a big name, it's not easy.
No, in particular, losing a guy like Latrell, you know, going into a game like that, when you see the stature of a man like Latrell next to you, I can only sort of think about when, you know, if I was playing with Mal Meninga, for instance, you always felt like you were 10 foot tall and bulletproof when he was in your side. When he wasn't there, you know, you didn't feel as big and as strong for whatever reason. Mm. That's the type of impact these players have. But I will say this, I think the fact that Steve Crichton has been there before, he's been in camp and he's got that relationship with those Penrith players, I think that'll be easier for New South Wales to handle than what it possibly would be for someone that's never had origin experience, never experienced big games before.
I know we forget stuff, right? And like, you know, one game blurs into the next, but I have a distinct memory of when Latrell played origin and just absolutely bullying the Queenslanders, which is, you know, something that the Blues probably need, because I think Queensland did that to New South Wales in the last time they played, and his physical presence and the way he could manhandle the opposition, really, that's where they lose out. I mean, they lose an intimidation factor. And I know Crichton's a world-class player, but he's more of a pure athlete, whereas Latrell is something different altogether. So that's where I think the concern for New South Wales is. And with the Cleary situation, now people have tried to, you know, take the mickey out of this tooth situation, because I guess it's funny, someone's got a sore tooth. But the truth of it is, and I've talked to Blues management, and Greg Alexander's been on the record about this, and he said that the face of Nathan Cleary had blown up yesterday morning, and that he has been bothered by this wisdom tooth for some time, and it blew up yesterday to the extent where they were talking about bringing in Matt Burton, but they decided they needed to get him in straight away so that he could be with the team last night and he could be with the team again for captain's run. I know captain's run isn't a really, you know, vigorous exercise, but they just wanted Burton there to be amongst the team today for that run, just in case. It's a just-in-case situation because, you know, who knows what happens with the tooth. And I know, you know, they're going to try and play it down, but Greg Alexander's been on record now saying it's a genuine story and a concern for the Blues. And, you know, Nathan was all smiles yesterday, sort of, you know, we didn't get a look inside his mouth to confirm it all. But he seemed pretty happy at the airport yesterday. And look, let's hope he does play. He might, you know, he's almost certainly will. However, it's just another thing that the Blues really didn't need.
Danny, tell us the story behind the story with Tevita Pangai in terms of, at one point, he wanted to walk out on the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Doggy, he was... do I call you Dennis?
You call me what you like, Danny.
Most people do. I like the Dennis line. That's one of my...
Yeah, Buzz loves Dennis.
It's one of the great moments, isn't it?
It was very funny, actually. I've got to be honest, it was quite clever of old Ponga Senior, Andre.
That was a Bob Fulton tactic, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? Correct.
Anyway, Dennis, I think that, look, well, I forgot what you're asking now. Tavita, yes. So Tavita was feeling pretty stressed by, I guess, his lack of contribution to the Bulldogs in the last, you know, this year, basically. He had the calf injury. He was feeling pressure to perform because he's on a big salary. And he went up to the coaching staff and said, listen, if you think it's, you know, not working for me here, I'm willing to go and just take less money elsewhere and not play with this pressure of the salary. But they had a good chat to him and talked him through it all and said they support him. I guess he didn't feel he was delivering for the club. He does have, it's quite a complex character, Tavita. He's a smart guy. He's the sort of bloke who'll know, you know, he'll know, Bulldog, that your nickname is Bulldog, and he'll know that, you know, he copped a spray off Ponga's dad. He knows everything that goes on in rugby league circles. He's quite across everything, but he's also got a broader view of his role in the game and where he stands and what he's delivered. And that's why he was feeling, I guess, a level of guilt in some way for not performing to how his salary was requiring him to perform. But the Dogs stood beside him and said, no, we've got faith in you. You know, you're going to get through this calf injury and you're going to come good for us. And now, you know, there's no way of saying it otherwise, but he's got a key role for the Blues tomorrow night, particularly after Payne Haas had that little bit of an ankle scare, which they're saying he's okay. I spoke to him at the airport yesterday. He said it's just a bit of carry-on. He thinks he's fine. But Tavita could have, like, he's going to have maybe the first 20 minutes, but who knows what role he's going to have. And he's going to have to be really on song. And I know he gets the red mist, but he's got to somehow play within the boundaries.
I was about to ask you, Denny, do you think he's matured enough as a footballer not to get caught up in the hype and the expectation? Because the narrative around him being in this team is for him to go out there and be the hitman, so to speak.
I can't guarantee that, Laurie. Yeah, I think he's a bit of a loose cannon. We've seen him play. You've seen him play. It doesn't take much to see the eyes when they start spinning. Like he says he plays his best when he's like that.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword because you want him to be playing like that, but you obviously don't want him to overstep the mark, but possibly deep down inside, you know that he could.
Well, he's been picked for that reason.
Exactly right.
Freddie's picked him to bring that aggression, so it's a very fine line between saying, go out there and do what I've picked you for, but don't overstep the line. It's a really, really fine line for Tavita.
It's difficult. It's a difficult, you know, and you know, the worry is that he could go the other way and play too much within himself. You know, you've seen, I look at the way Victor Radley's played this year and I feel like he's a bit lost in the way he plays because he doesn't know anymore whether he can just be that aggressive player. And I think that's what's hampering Victor's game. And I hope that Tavita just is Tavita and just does what he does. You know, and I figure if he's, you can't, I mean, I'm not wrong in saying he can get away with a little bit more in Origin.
No.
And we're going to need someone to stand up to the Tinos and all of their other... They've got some wild blokes in their side who are not afraid of it. I mean, like, Tino, that game he played in Game 3 last year was unbelievable. His physical dominance... I haven't seen many better wild displays of Origin football than what he produced. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
Jason Riles, the latest there, and the Dragons. How close is it to being a formality, Denny?
It appears like it's going to happen. 4 years, it's a fair way down the track. The only asterisk on it is I know the Storm are keen to have one more crack at Riles. That's how it's been explained to me. And I guess the only thing is, I guess the Storm wouldn't want to be seen to be coming off second best in this because they don't like losing in any situation, especially when they're chasing a potential head coach. And to be rejected by Ryle would probably hurt the club. So, you know, as it stands right now, it appears to be that Ryle will be there for 4 years. But until it's all signed off, I'm not one who's going to say done deal, you know, let's close the book on it.
Geez, I hope the four-year deal works, Denny.
Yeah, it's there's an element of risk, isn't there? I mean, I don't think, like, I've been on record saying I don't think the right choice is Anthony Griffin, but I don't think Anthony Griffin was the sole problem at the Dragons. And I feel like that's been the whole conversation with Ryles and getting to where he is now, is I think he needs the Dragons. I think he thinks the Dragons needs a bit of an overhaul, not just a tinkering with. And that's gonna be the issue, whether he gets his way and is able to actually stamp everything he wants on that club to make it a successful club. Now, I think he's done at the Roosters too. I think that's all over now. So he probably needs a job. He'll have to go to the Dragons.
We better get a tip off you, Denny, for tomorrow.
I have to
tip
the Blues. Blues by six. I'm tipping with my heart, not my head. I've been really surprised how New South Wales have been favourites all the way through. I mean, I'm not a punter, so I don't understand how that happens. But I've just been shocked. I watched you on the couch on Matty Johns, and you seem like you're shocked with the Blues being such strong favourites too, Loz.
I am, Denny. I just think there's not much difference between the two sides. And even with Luttrell out, you would think that the market would be tighter. But it's not. Obviously, it's tightened up a little bit. Yeah. But I just don't see the big difference in price. I don't know how they've come to that conclusion, because for mine, I think it could go either way.
Well, I just think Queensland, I think from the moment last year ended, Queensland are favourites. And and I just think Luttrell being out makes them even bigger favourites.
Denny, thank you so much. Enjoy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Denny Widler there from the Nine Network. And just a reminder of the multi, which Loz has gone with, ahead of Origin 1 tomorrow night here in Adelaide. And Loz, you're keeping both sets of fans happy here.
I am. So it's either team to win by 8 or less points. All right? 8 or less points, either New South Wales or Queensland. And then we're just relying on Tommy T to score in the opening 70 minutes of the contest. So if you want to be a part of that multi, that's paying $9.
Coming up shortly, Tom Drobojevic and Paul Sirenin in the last half hour of the program. Just some of your say on the text line here. Olakau'atu would have had Tino on toast. Way better option than Pengai. No name to that one. Loz, what are your thoughts on the Raiders resting Jared Croker this week so he can play his 300th at home the following? We had a bit of a chat about this yesterday.
Had a bit of chat, yeah. No, I think the Raiders have made the right call if that's what they're going to do. Obviously, they've got Jared, who's a very experienced player. I think there's two reasons. I think one is they always had him marked down to have a rest at some point in time. And two, I think they'd really love him to experience his 300th game playing at home. So I understand why they're doing it. It'll come down to, obviously, who's available for selection too this week. I mean, if they're down on troops, well, he'll probably have to play. But I think the plan was always to rest him from this match. He's had 6 or 7 games now in first grade. And there's no coincidence that the Raiders' form has improved since he's been back there. Just the camaraderie that he has within that group and the respect that he has within the playing group as well. So I think it's a good decision if Jared's body is telling the Raiders that he needs a rest to freshen up to get him through the rest of the season, because he's an important member of their team.
Bulldog, a story that you've written in today's Telegraph under the headline, "All Biffs Are Off."
What?
So what's this? So a warning from Graham Endersley to the players.
It's just a reminder, more than a warning, I guess, Mido. Just saying that misconception which is around, I mentioned it earlier in the show, that you can go out there and get away with more. Well, you can't.
In Origin.
In Origin. Everyone says it. We all say it. Yeah. You said it before, inadvertently.
Yeah. But you can.
Can you?
Well, yes, obviously, with foul play, you can't. They'll crack down on foul play. But they tend to let a lot of things other than foul play run its course.
Which we want.
Yeah, you don't want the referee to be pedantic and putting the whistle in his mouth and stopping the game and Oh, well, I said to Middo, like, NRL games now are going for 2 hours, which is frustrating for me as a viewer because they stop it for everything. I don't want to see that in an Origin game. I want to see the game flow.
We've got a national audience. We want to put on a good show. So keep your whistle in your pocket. The question I have for you is if it flows beautifully and he puts his whistle in his pocket, why can't we do that for NRL games?
I wish we
because
could.
Because you haven't got the best players.
But what does that matter?
Well, the best players usually run and know how to push the boundaries of the referees, and they get into a flow of the game a lot easier than some of the lesser-known players, because the lesser-known players may become fatigued and may give away silly penalties because they can't get back into the line, or they go in third man and they forget about tackling above the knee and drop below the knee. There's things that happen during an Origin game where the best shine through, and that's why they're on that arena, because they've got the ability when they're fatigued to keep going. In a club game, when you get fatigued, some of the players, they just can't handle it. And that's when they get sloppy in contact. That's when they give away penalties because they can't get back the 10, or they give signals away. There's a lot of things that happen during a game when the elite players don't get fatigued, and when the so-called elite players get fatigued, because they do make errors. They'll drop the ball, for instance.
I just think if we get a great spectacle, let's keep those standards.
But the completion rates in Origin are always high.
Correct.
Like, during a club game, they're not high.
He's set to play his 9th Origin special guest. He has 9 tries in his 8 Origins, and in those 8, New South Wales have won 6 and lost 2. Pleasure to be joined by New South Wales centre Tom Trbojevic. Tom, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are we all?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Appreciate your time. Take us through, firstly, when Latrell told the boys he was out yesterday.
Yeah, so he addressed the squad yesterday morning before he took off to Adelaide, and obviously very disappointing news for him, and he was, quite showing in that. But that's a great opportunity for Critter that will come in, and I'm sure he'll do a good job.
Must give the boys confidence, though, Tommy, the fact that while you would have loved to have seen Latrell there, and he's a massive out, but Stephen Crichton's got such a great relationship with those Penrith guys. He'll play on that left edge. He's been a part of big games. He played all 3 games last year. And he's been there all week in camp. So it's not going to be a big deal for him other than, say, getting his head around preparing for a game right here and right now.
Yeah, I think you're very right. Obviously, he's got connection with a lot of the boys and played in big games. It's hard to replace a player like Latrell Mitchell, but he's probably the closest we can get. So he'll do an awesome job for us, and I'm excited to play alongside him.
Turbo, I don't think you were necessarily criticised for your early season form, but certainly scrutinised. I know players like you try to ignore that, but it would be inhuman not to have some effect on you when you constantly read about how poorly, in inverted commas, you are playing.
Yeah, it was a little bit taxing at times, and you can't really... You try to, but you can't really avoid it. But that's
everywhere.
Something that I just had to come to accept and move forward with. And that's just, it is what it is, So I guess as soon as I understood that, the easier it was to deal with, and I just really focused on playing footy.
When you say accepted it, Tommy, did you accept the criticism or accept that your form was a little down?
A little bit of both, thanks. A little bit of both.
How do you feel, Tom, about opposing Hemiso Tabuai Fadone now on that edge, that they've made a bit of a switch, Queensland?
Yeah, he's a very quality player, and he's been one of the best players this year. So I know he plays fullback for the Dolphins, but he's played that left centre role before for the Cowboys. So he's going to be tough to mark up against. He's very quick, so I'm going to have to get me start positions right and hope to do a good job on him.
You probably don't want to give too much away, Tommy, but can we expect you to go roaming in field and end up on the other side of the field at times during this game?
Oh, look, I'm not 100% sure how the game will pan out, but there's opportunities for that possibly. But I think, it's a bit of a different game to what it was now. In 2021, it's not as open. So I think you'll see me on the right side a bit more.
Turbo, how do you relax before a big game? Have you got any routines that you go through, or... Do you have a snooze? What do you do to try to calm down on the day of a game?
Yeah, because it's a late one, I'll probably have an Arvo nap. It's hard to it's quite hard with the late games to relax. So often a few of the boys will have a nap in the afternoon and I'll try and do the same.
Tommy, do you think a lot about the game on the day, or are you one of these players that can sort of put it to the back of your mind and then once you start to have the team meeting, jump on the bus, get into the sheds, you can start to switch on then?
No, I'm more of a thinker, so I'm always thinking about the game, right. Yep. Especially tomorrow. So it's some of the biggest games on our calendar each year, and you definitely get nervous for them. But it's a good thing, and it's exciting, and I can't wait for the game tomorrow.
Is there a player in New South Wales that you've looked at this week and gone, geez, I think he's in for a big one?
Oh, who's in for a big one? I think Nate's going to be massive for us this year. He's always so good to play alongside, and gives you a lot of confidence having him there at seven.
Your Manly teammate, Daly Cherry Evans, is like heading into camp, has he sledged you at all or even on the field? I couldn't imagine him being much of a sledger on the field, but does he, chip you heading into Origin camp?
No, we try and keep the Origin chat out of Manly, mate. We don't really talk about it too much, so it's quite respectful in that way. We're obviously good mates, so we try and keep it that way.
How's your golf, Turbo? What are you playing off now?
I haven't played comp for a long time, so it'd probably be about 18. I'm hitting it horribly. We played in camp one day. And me and Teddy lost a challenge, so it wasn't any good viewing for my golf game.
I saw your swing one day. There's a bit of work there, Tommy.
Right, it was a bit of work, a lot. Yeah, exactly. But I don't have much range, so I just work with what I've got.
I know one bloke would be disappointed not to be there tomorrow night is your brother, Jake. How's he travelling? And will he be back to play some role in the series, Tommy?
Look, I'm not entirely sure when he will be back. I don't think game two, possibly game three. But he'll know more than me. And I haven't talked to him too much about the injury. Just general chatting to him and seeing how he's going. So he's obviously disappointed, but he's come to terms with his injury, and he'll work on the reconditioning phase, get it right, and hopefully play a role late in the series if he can.
Yeah. Mate, how disappointing was it for you last year just sitting back watching? Well, you missed the World Cup tour, you missed State of Origin. Every player wants to be a part of the big games. How frustrating was it for you to sit back and watch it last year, the Origin series?
Yeah, it was. It's always hard watching footy, whether it's for Manly, New South Wales or whatever. And, you just wanted the boys to go well and get a win. And, it wasn't the case. But that's footy sometimes. And, unfortunately, I was, couldn't help me out in the field. So I'm happy. I'm much happier I'm in this position now. And I can get out there and try and play a role.
Go well, Tom. Really appreciate your time, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Tommy.
Tom Trbojevic, New South Wales centre, great record in Origin, and Loz has got him in the mouldy to score within the first 70 minutes, and either team to win between 1 and 8 points. Even Queenslanders should back that.
Well, they can back it, Peter. They can back it. I love hearing from Tommy. Like a day out from the game, they've got their captain's run a little bit later this morning, but he just sounds good. He sounds in a good headspace. I think the game last week against the Raiders, or 2 weeks ago against the Raiders, has really got him primed for a big performance tomorrow night. I think you just see the relief with that game. 3 tries, he looked good in open space. And even seeing him yesterday at the airport when we had a quick chat, he just looked happy. He looked confident, he looked happy, and just in a good space. So I think he's going to be a real key for us.
Ready to rumble. We've got a special guest as well who's ready to rumble here at the Sportsman's Lunch at the Aussie Inn later today. 14 origins for New South Wales. Lozzie played every game in that side that you led from 92 to 94 when he won 3 years in a row.
Yeah, very instrumental in all those games for New South Wales, Ciro. And I think I spoke earlier, I was lucky enough as a half, not as a halfback, but as a 5'8", to play with such a great big and powerful forward pack. I think, Lazarus, Roberts, Sirenin, there was Geyer, there was
Clyde,
there was Harrigan. There was big units, mobile units. You were never intimidated because you had the biggest and best with you. So the firepower at your disposal was second to none.
It was almost the starting point of the new athlete, wasn't it, around that time? The sort of the old forwards that couldn't run too far were dying. And this era you talk about, Loz, was the new era coming in that was showing that you had to be athletic to be a forward.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the mobility that they all had, that was one of the things that stood them apart, the fact that they had size but they had mobility. And the games, you know, you can play a good club game or a fast club game, but it's nothing like an Origin contest. Origin contest, you look up at the clock and 60 minutes is gone. The game's nearly over. It just goes so fast. And, you know, you've got to be able to push through that pain barrier, because I reckon you become fatigued at least three or four times during that game, where you just got to pick yourself up and keep going again.
He's part of the New South Wales camp, Paul Sirenin. Ciro, a very good morning to you, mate.
Hello, boys. Nice to join you from... it's a little bit damp and bleak here in Adelaide City, but apparently the weather's going to fine up a bit later on, which is good.
Now, psychologically, the loss of Latrell, how hard did it hit the squad?
Oh, look, Steve Crichton's been running in. I mean, what Freddie's been doing, the coaching staff have been interchanging players all week into different positions just to cover all scenarios. So, I think everyone's quite comfortable with Critter jumping in there, because he's been doing work all week with the side. So, look, we won't, you know, I mean, he's a game breaker, Latrell, but we won't lose too much with Critter jumping in.
Ciro, where did New South Wales break down Queensland?
If I knew that, Loz, I'd be on the coaching staff. But I'm just I'm the water boy. I know we roll out the same cliches all the time, mate. It'll be one in certain moments, mate. It'll probably be these games are more won on the back of a maybe a mistake or something from the opposition. But look, you just got to, you know, complete kick well, just to do all that sort of stuff and then get into the grind with a mate. So that's what we'll be doing. So and we're quite comfortable with the side we've got. We've got some speed out wide. We've got, you know, some two of the smartest halves in the game. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Tevita Pengai Jr. Sarah, he wasn't on the radar of a lot of people. Obviously, he was on the radar of the selection committee and Freddie. What's he like in camp? And given the talk that has surrounded his selection about he's going to be our enforcer, he's going to intimidate, and he's going to go out there and give it to the Queenslanders. the only issue I see is him sort of reading all that and believing it and thinking that's what he's got to do and then possibly finding himself off the field. But how do you think he'll handle that, and what type of player or performance can we expect from him?
Well, Loz, you know you need a couple of blokes in your team who are just a little bit on the crazy side of things sometimes, mate. But I'm sure he'll be look. And he's, you know, the forwards have been talking to him, the coaching staff have been talking to him. He knows his role. Look, he'll bring some intimidation. But yeah, look really these days, as we all know, mate. You can't belt anyone. You can't hit them high. If you hit them high, you're in the bin, and you penalise your team. So it's look, he'll do his role and he'll do it well. And and he has been. Look, I know his name was thrown up a couple of years ago by the coaching staff as a player they're looking at for the Blues squad. So he's always been, I think, in their plans at some stage. And just so happens with, you know, injuries to key middles at the moment, he's the one who's got his opportunity. So it's up to him now to perform and to hold his spot.
Ciro, it's Bulldog. I just want to ask you, heading toward game day, can you feel inside the camp that the tension grows? Can you see players' personalities change to some degree in terms of they know this big game is approaching quickly? And if so, who are the players in camp that keep it light?
Well, look, you've got the Fox to do that, mate. He'll lighten the mood wherever he goes. So he's been great to have around. You know, we probably missed him last year, just his energy around the playing group. But look, they tend just, I wouldn't say withdraw, but they tend to be a little bit more retrospective and a bit quieter heading into game day. But, you know, it just depends. I mean, some blokes have got have got the same sort of build up for all games. You know, some bloke will laugh and joke around, others will try and get the angry head on. Which, well, I had to do the same because I was always pretty easy going. I had to try and get myself revved up for big games and, you know, just to switch on. But look, no, there's a subtle change, Bulldog, but nothing that you would say, oh boy, you know. I mean, you'll certainly feel it. You generally feel it heading into the sheds. Into the sheds, you'll know. You'll get a sense if they're ready to go. You'll just know. You'll go, boys, we're on tonight. You know, you can just get a feeling sometimes. And there's other times too when you get a bit concerned. You go, well, geez, they're not quite with it at the moment. And you know, I guess it's from years of experience hanging around footy sides. You generally get a sense of that. But fingers crossed, mate. We will, because we have to win game one. This game is absolutely vital, so we need to be ready to go. We're heading out. The captain's running an hour and a half, and the boys will switch on and be ready to go.
The captain's run, Ciro, like 30 minutes max, something like that?
Oh, about that, Loz. Yeah, look, we'll go out a bit earlier. The kickers will go out a bit early and do some kicking practice and some goal kicking and other you know, it's the same return as they do for their club sides. Like Matt Cleary will go and sort of hit 20 to 30 conversion attempts, and then backup kicker will probably be Critter, Steve Crichton, will do that too. But the team will join there. But really, it's a case of, it'll be maybe 30 to 40 minutes max, and then everyone knows their job and have a bit of a recovery session and then ready to go for the game tomorrow night.
And Nathan Cleary, no doubt that he'll play. There was some concern that he had a serious tooth issue.
I'm waiting for the Queenslanders to roll it. Oh, there's a flu virus going around the camp. They'll roll that out at some stage today for sure. You know, but I think Nate's okay, mate. Some antibiotics and other bits and pieces, and if not, I'll go to the chemist to give him some Bongiella to rub on his tooth. That'll numb it up. But we used to live with the kids, so we'll be right.
And Freddie's earthing, you get involved there, Ciro?
Well, I don't like getting wet, cold feet, to be honest, mate.
I'm with you, Ciro. I like to put my gym socks on.
I'm a little bit soft when it comes to that sort of stuff, but there's been a little bit of that. A little bit of that, mate, but, yeah, I mean, the boys went, we went for a bit of a walk last night, and there's a little bit of getting in touch with the minerals in the soil and whatnot too, but but all good. We'll be ready to go.
Put your hand on a beer. Plenty of minerals in that, Sarah.
I might be doing that this afternoon, gentlemen, so.
We'll see you later today, Sarah.
I look forward to it, gents.
The racing show's coming up on Sky Sports Radio and the Radio Tab Network. And from Radio Tab, Steve Hewlett, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. Yes, exciting morning as we head into the Queensland Oaks. The weather is beautiful. Some of our guests this morning, we're heading over to the Northern Hemisphere. We're going to talk to William Haggis to find out if Dubai Honor is actually going to race at the upcoming Royal Ascot Carnival. So William Haggis will be with us. We're also going to talk to Tony Sears. How good was Yellow Brick beaten but far from disgrace? But it looks very unlikely that he's going to get into the Stradbroke. So what's plan B if he doesn't get in? So we'll talk to Tony Sears. Andrew Noblett turns up with a really good mare in Brisbane on the weekend by the name of Foxy Frieda. And we get to see a horse called Missile Thunder, 6 from 6, return off a year off this afternoon at Townsville. So we'll talk to the trainer there in Roy Chalimi. And we'll also talk about a horse that created this massive impression on debut in Hong Kong about a week ago, that debuted, won a trial at the Gold Coast, was with a small stable there. So we'll tell you about that story as well. So lots of other news right throughout the morning.
Okay, really appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks,
Jared. We'll catch you after the news, and it's about to tick over a minute to 9, and I've just been told that Dave's brushed us. Brushed.
Oh, he's got other things on, has he?
Well, I think probably wants a certain amount of time.
Ah, right.
And he's been squeezed, so he's just given us the old
heave-ho. Oh, well, that's what happens when you run a program like he does.
What blokes like him along.
Tell you what, Bulldog, we have appreciated your presence this morning.
Late notice, earlier start.
Thanks for the time difference as well. But thanks for jumping in. A huge thanks to the Harvest Hotels boys and all their staff and the Aussie Inn here in Hackham in South Australia for hosting us this morning. Thanks, it's comfortable, Brent. Pleasant, and it's a great venue.
It has. When we got up early this morning, Middo, it was very, very early, and it was quite dark, and it was a bit of rain around, and I'm thinking, how are we going to get through this morning? But they've looked after us well. We've had a couple of coffees, and Bulldog off the bench, I've got to tell you.
He exceeded
my expectation.
What were those expectations?
Not much.
At least you're honest.
But you came with enthusiasm.
You're rude but honest.
Factually, at times you're incorrect.
I beg your pardon.
Oh.
I beg your pardon.
Factually, at times you're incorrect. But anyhow, we enjoyed the show.
You can take this.
Shut him up, would you?
You can continue this off air. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.